Hi, this is Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, which is what I am. I'm a clinical dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention mode, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today is a sugar day, and we're going to be talking with an expert on sugar, and in particular, sugar along with children and the relationship between sugar and children. We're going to be talking now with Ben Briggs, who is a compounding pharmacist and nutritionist and the founder of Lionville Natural Pharmacy and Health Food Stores. He's a lecturer, author, developer of numerous compounded pain, skin, hormonal, and hospice formulations, as well as nutritional protocols, including his own Ben's Self Nutritional Program. Ben previously produced a web radio program, Health Focus on Holistic Medicine, archived on LionRx, BrandyWineRadio.com. Ben is an advisor to numerous traditional and holistic practitioners in all aspects of compounding product development, nutritionals, and analysis of blood, urine, and saliva testing. He does everything. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you, Shirley? How are you today?
I'm terrific. Boy, oh boy, you are fancy.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing it a long time, you know, and it's the traditional pharmacist from when I started in the doing this type of work in the late 60s and early 70s. It didn't take long to find out that I became a technician, really, and my expertise, all those years of study and learning and the arduous exams that we have to take, you know,
yeah.
You end up with taking a big bottle of pills and pouring them into a small bottle of pills, typing a label, and handing it to a patient. So I decided that my need was to express where I saw problems. You got to remember, this was before computers. This was before
right. They
cross-checked. So you had to know your clients, you had to know your customers, patients, whatever you want to call them, and you had to protect them. And oftentimes, my bosses were interested in volume and turnover instead of patient care. So I opened my own store. And since I was at the age of pharmacognosy, the pharmacology of plants, which we had to learn, and of course it was...
Wow.
Something we did not want to do. We were anxious to get out of school and go on. And I come. It was trained in Philadelphia, the home of homeopathy. So, of course, we learned that also. So as time progressed and we got into the 80s, people started to understand that vitamins were important. And that's how I started, with a little homeopathy, a little herbal, a little good quality supplementation. And people were feeling better and getting better. And then finally, after two moves, I expanded. I got into this particular location where I have a holistic center, a health food store, organic foods, and a larger array of supplements, along with professional levels. So the nutritional degree came out later. So sometimes you don't hold water, and you probably know this, unless you have some initials behind your name, which is fine.
Yep.
I learned things. So... You know, I've been asked to speak, and I've written a number of articles, and basically we're looking at wholeness as holistic being, and my self program is Ben's Self Nutritional Program. It's breathing, exercise, saying no, people sometimes can't do that, supplements, learning to eliminate, and elimination could be just going to the bathroom, or it could be eliminating food allergens, and then there's lifestyle change. Which is all kind of ties together. People get stuck in a rut. And if they try something new, it's just as different as getting a dog or walking a dog or doing something that's good for you, makes you feel better. And, of course, the last part is the food. And this is where we're going to fall into place here today, is what our foods are abundant but nutritionally of poor value to our health. And, of course, the advertising and promotion of foods in this country is due to the agribusiness, the lobbyists, and these types of base foods. If you look at our food pyramid itself, it's basically upside down. Numerous books have been written about health and nutrition, and they're pretty much along the same lines. Even MDs have written books, as I mentioned the pre-show here. I have a book here that's on the New York Times bestseller list, and it is a travesty. They're recommending complex carbohydrates because of the glycemic index fallacy. So it doesn't matter if the glycemic index is a high food, like sugar is that number 100. Other foods are lower or higher, depending on how they're processed. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether you have a low glycemic carbohydrate with 50 grams of carbs or a high glycemic. The only difference is the time frame and how quickly it spikes. But overall, the low glycemics extend that sugar level for a longer period of time. And at the end, the short burning or the high glycemics are gone, but the slow burning are still there. You know, this is I'm just not making this up. This is exactly what happens. So
right.
We run into this other fallacy behind fats, because fats are our fuel for the body. They are what we should be running on. So in the 50s, a quote-unquote physician, brilliant as he called himself, decided to go low-fat. Now, when did we start seeing heart disease and more diabetes and obesity and arthritis? All because we started taking the essential fatty acids out of the food. This book that I just mentioned it talks about giving a child skim milk. That's pure sugar. There's no fat in there. And some of the snack remedies, it makes you cringe when you read them. So,
well, let's take a couple of steps back. First of all,
okay.
Your idea of being holistic. I'm always a little bit annoyed at the way that holistic is spelled. I think it should have a W in front, because it really
is more about
the whole, right?
Absolutely. You're right.
So,
no, you're right.
That's number one. Number two is, you kind of made the case that I've been trying to make, is that there's a difference between something to eat and food. And what we have in the United States right now are a lot of things to eat and very little food. And
exactly.
If we can imagine that distinction in our own mind, I think that we're going to be better off with what our dietary needs are. And you can discern a little bit better between what is good for you and what is just something to fill some emotional hole. And then this idea of homeostasis and this skim milk, every time I go, I hope my daughter-in-law is not going to listen to this episode, because it just hurts me physically. Neither of the kids really drink a lot of milk, so that's a plus. But she has skim milk in the refrigerator, and she has growing children, and I'm like, they need fat. The whole brain is made up of fat, but I've never put it together with this pure sugar part. The fat slows down the sugar in the milk, right? Even if it's white milk, it still has sugar in. It's called lactose.
Whole milk, They have lactose, which is a type of sugar that we can handle. It burns a little slower than the processed sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar. But the thing is about when you take
the milk slows it down even further.
Yeah.
The fat in the milk slows it down even further. And that's a little piece of the puzzle that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, the only value of milk really is fats with some suspended minerals, okay? So the casein, the white part of the milk, is the inflammatory part. So when you take away the butterfat, 1% or skim, what do you have left? You have this casein, this whey protein, that is hard to digest, very similar to gluten, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do? Well, they first of all, they dye it because it's kind of a bluish gray. Secondly, they put in LDL cholesterol, you know, a polyunsaturated or a changed fat to make it a little thicker, to emulsify it, and then they put sugars in it to make it taste good. So you end up with a food, basically, that is of no value at all, except for inflammation. And the real whole point here, anyway, is that we are not cows. We're the only species on this planet that drinks other animals' milk. It's to make babies fat and grow. So now, is it delicious? Yes. Do we have an industry that is based on dairy, wheat, corn, and now soy, which could be most of them genetically modified? Yeah. And, of course, we pasteurize it, ruining the activity of the enzymes, and then we homogenize the milk, making it smaller and more sticky by pushing it through a strainer instead of having big globules of fat. So raw milk, like we used to have as I was a kid, had the cream on the top. You shook it up each morning, and you got your good milk. And what do we pour our milk on? Frosted Flakes. Oh, I walked into the grocery store yesterday. Now, this is it. As soon as I walked in the door, as soon as that door, automatic door moved, what do I see? I'm faced with a wall of Lucky Charms because it's going to be St. Patty's Day, right? And across from that, all these cookies, right, all on sale, these Keebler cookies that were, well, I don't know, there was chocolate chip, there was mint chocolate chip, and they all had the little leprechaun on them, you know. Oh, my goodness. So here we go, from one Christmas to New Year's to Valentine's to St. Patty's to Easter candy. I mean, well, you know where we are.
Well, so, it's one thing if you know you're eating sugar, right? It's that they hide it in other foods as well, and even wheat flakes turn into sugar as you're chewing them.
Absolutely.
That's
the point
secret
of chewing.
There. Yep.
That's chewing, to release amylase and to crush the food down and make your sugars. So if there's no fat with it, see, then we don't create oleoethanolamide, which is a fat broken down that stimulates the pituitary to release leptin, the hormone that causes satiety. So if you eat fat first, that's why if you look at the Europeans, what do they eat? Well, sometimes they eat bitters first to get the gallbladder going. They put copious olive oil and some vinegars on it for the digestion, or they're eating little bits of cheese. So they're starting to get full, and actually they dine, the word dine. They go to dinner. They don't just shove food down at the, you know, how long does it take to finish a meal on the average American family? Probably, if they even eat together, 15 minutes, maybe.
Yep.
And that's from start to finish. So, and then there's always this prize at the end, right? We call it dessert. So if you eat your vegetables, Johnny boy, I'll give you dessert. Well, that doesn't make any sense, you know? I don't know. It's all kind of backwards. But what are you going to do, you know? I mean, it's hard to get my clients, even my clients in their 60s and 70s, to lose the weight because they, number one, have habits. And they know what tastes good to them. And they've actually lost a lot of their sense of taste and smell. You should be tasting and smelling and enjoying the food. And from your standpoint of the teeth, you know, and the gums, you probably see, I wouldn't know because I don't know what you know in that area, but I imagine you see some very detrimental effects to the gums in the teeth from the types of food that have been eaten by these.
Here's the big story that nobody's talking about now that we're here opening doors of things nobody talks about. The lack of chewing and the lack of using your facial muscles has really affected everything that we do, from eating to breathing. And the small shape of when you're not chewing, you're not stimulating a lot of the bone growth that you need in order for your maxilla to expand. And if your maxilla is not expanding, and if you're a thumbsucker on top of it because you're trying to get an airway, you're pushing the palate up into your sinus, and that increases the sinusitis story. And airway story, and collapses the airway when you're sleeping, and turns into ADHD and yada yada and on and on. So it's not just about cavities. This oral systemic link is way past gum disease.
Right.
It's so far past.
Yeah.
So I'm thanking you for letting me have a chance to throw that in.
I went skiing about 5 years ago, and I got assigned with a roommate. And even though at one point I was selling medical equipment, he had a CPAP machine. Now, not only was he obese, but when you just said that, I noticed most of what he ate, being the roommate, and not because we were skiing, because you need carbs. This was his diet. He was a bachelor.
Soft.
He mostly ate pizza and sandwiches. And in the morning he ate, and here we go back to the skim milk, convenience sake, cereal and a low-fat or a skim milk. So all that I ever saw him eat was carbs, you know, basically carbs, maybe pepperoni here and there, or meat on the sandwich. But I get up, you know, and I'm making eggs, you know, or I'm having oatmeal. And this is a great breakfast start, a cooked, you know, steel-cut oats for a child.
Yeah.
With some fruit in there. And fruit sugars are different. They're not the same.
Right.
Berry. So they burn slower, and they don't have a spike in the blood sugar. You put a little butter in that cooking of the steel-cut oats. Now you have some fat. You're slowing it down. Now, some people will put milk or dairy on it. I don't, but I'm saying if you use the butter, you have a meal. But what is the main breakfast these days? It probably mostly grains, whether it's a Pop-Tart, a donut, or cereal that's sugary. So a kid goes out. He's given juice or a juice box or worse, all sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup. It's not fruit sugar. They go out.
Right.
They get to school. By 9 o'clock, their blood sugar's taking a nosedive. So what is little Beverly, little Johnny get addressed as? ADD. Because they can't sit still.
Yep.
They can't focus. They want. So
they're trying to stay awake.
Yeah. And what comes next? The little snack time. So what do we have? Oh, we have a muffin and another juice box. So that satisfies them for another 2 hours. Then we go to lunch, if it's on time, because you know how they stagger these lunches. And what are what are their choices? You know, and most of it's going to be French fries or some pizza again or a hot dog. Now, it's not that way in every school, but I have a younger daughter who sees this, and she's just appalled, you know. So it's this convenience issue. And we should be grazing like an animal. And we should be using those teeth and those jaws. One of my trainings came from a gentleman who was a dentist. Well, three of them. Royal Lee was one of them, who founded the Standard Process Company, which is whole food vitamins and supplements. Also, Weston Price. And anyone can look at that, WestonPriceFoundation.com, and you can see where these gentlemen, along with Melvin Page, another dentist and nutritionist, all of them were doing this work from the 20s, 30s, and up into the 50s, looking at indigenous tribes.
I'm familiar.
You know who it is. So here we are.
Oh, sure.
What did we eat? If we walk the perimeter of the grocery store and don't go to the middle, we will be a lot healthier.
We're good.
Good. So, you know, this reaction we have to the artificial sweeteners, well, there's no calories. Well, these are all chemicals. Or the fibromyalgia, that term that it was been developed for selling pharmaceuticals. Not that it doesn't exist, but it's a chemical response. So if we remove those artificial sweeteners, amazingly, in a week, the people who have chronic headaches and fatigue and aches and pains, they start to feel better without doing anything other than changing that little piece. So we have all kinds of sweeteners that are found naturally that we can use. And if you think about it, if we use unprocessed raw sugar, you do much better rather than the white. Anything in nature that's white is usually not very good for you. It still stands to reason, because if we take a white omelet, and I laugh at that, when people think they're helping themselves.
Oh, my God.
The only thing in the egg that's any good is the yolk. So
my mother-in-law used to say, that's what makes the feathers.
Yes, that's right. Well, once you cook that clear liquid in that egg, that protein, you've destroyed it once it turns white.
Yep.
So what did our grandparents eat. They ate from the garden. If they had chickens, they picked the eggs, so to speak. They ate very little saturated fat meats. But they did eat them from occasion. But they ate fish, they ate chicken, they ate beef, they ate pork. They couldn't afford it, for one thing. But they worked, and they exercised, and their physical activity was extremely different from what we do, you know. So, you know, working with kids, it's hard, especially if I have a client, a young child, to make them understand that this food's organic. It doesn't mean it tastes like cardboard. It just means that it's in its natural state. And we worked very hard in the last 15 years or more. I was on a few committees with school lunch programs trying to change things. And, of course, a nurse was there, and we got into this discussion, and she said, well, we're going to change the chips to low fat. And I said, well, that's the worst thing.
Oh, boy.
We're going to use baked chips. I said, well, first of all, they take like cardboard.
Yeah.
Why don't you just take the – all we were trying to do is get the sodas out of the school. We never could because they give a kickback to the sports teams for however many sodas they sell.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get them locked up during school, and then they use them for activity time when they have games and things. But you stand there, and you're talking to parent groups, and they're looking at you like you got three heads, you know. What my doctor said.
They're so far removed from it, yeah.
So from the healthy teeth standpoint, I mean, when did we start having cavities? When did these people from the Weston Price and the Pima Indians, when did they get diabetes? When did they have problems? Well, when we introduced sugar. You know, when we introduced sugar to these folks, if they ate cane sugar, that was their candy. They would chew on a cane, you know, of sugar.
Right.
Or they would have beets, you know, from the ground. But when we started processing all this food and giving it to them, which we have an abundance of, we have, you know, probably...
a lot of jobs tied up in that.
Of course. But we could grow better things. We could do that.
Yeah, we could.
But, well, maybe you and
I'll do it. It's a whole thing. There's a lot of politics involved here that we can't even, all we can do is just nod our head towards it because it's pretty massive and it's pretty high money, and all of that money should be now shuffled over to healthcare because all of the money originally put to the subsidies are causing our healthcare crisis, but that's another topic for another show. With respect to children and sugar, though, are children more susceptible to sugars? Is that because... They're building their habits then?
It's addictive, basically. It's as addictive as coffee and caffeine. So what happens over time as you get older, you need more to satisfy your need. That's one thing. So if you don't get them started on it, like I don't eat sugar. If I do, I'm saying I don't, but if I'm stuck somewhere and I smell a fresh-baked cookie or whatever, it tastes so sweet to me. It's almost, sometimes I spit it out. It's that sweet. But when you're eating that every day and don't know
that's hardcore.
Isn't it? Well, I mean, you know, I'm a diabetic, so I have to watch what I'm eating anyway. You know.
Yeah,
so
okay.
If I, not that I don't eat some sweets, but if I do, I try to slow them down with the fat. And the problem is, you know, I tell people, you know, peanut butter is okay, but it has a lot of sugar in it if it's not, you know, the organic form, which is just peanuts and salt. If you look at the commercial ones, they have a trans fat in there, usually something like Crisco, which, I mean, it's just peanuts and sugar and salt. So if you think about that, you won't eat that again. But the problem is it is not a nut. It's a bean. So in diabetic patients, it's not a good idea to have peanut butter, but go with almond butter, you know, or you can go cashew butter. And, yeah, they're more expensive, but you won't eat as much. But if you eat a little snack with a peanut, with the almond butter, the kids take hold of that because it's not as sweet, and it slows down their burning of those sugars. An afternoon snack, they come home. You know, don't let them go into the refrigerator and start eating ice cream or start eating the crackers. Because all they're going to do, they're hungry.
Because Yep, they're hungry, and both of those are going to affect the blood sugar the same way.
Right.
The crackers, the chips, all of that stuff is just as bad for the blood sugar and the pancreas as ice cream is. Although ice cream is probably better because it's pretty high in fat, unless, of course, you're getting the skim milk ice milk, and that's a whole nother story.
Well, you know, it's nothing like an apple a day, you know? A little apple,
yes.
And you can give them a little cheese with that, as long as it's not poured into a tube and sliced, one of those, you know? A nice aged cheese. Pears, berries are my favorite, I guess. And actually, tomatoes are berries, you know, they're not fruit. I mean, they're actually a fruit, they're not vegetable. So the little red tomatoes, I think you can make them a snack. They can have a dip. Hummus is another good one for them, you know, to snack on when they come home. Just don't let them use a cracker. Let them use a celery stick or cucumbers because they need hydration. And that's the other problem. People don't drink enough water. You know,
right.
We need to be hydrated. We're two-thirds water in our body. And we need some salt with it for the adrenal glands, for our energy. It's not going to raise your blood pressure. It's not going to make you retain it because that's what it does. It's a gradient. It helps the water go back and forth between cells. And one of my favorites that's been coming along pretty well now is coconut. And coconut water and coconut milk. Avocado is another one. Seeds. Even radishes and green beans. Kids can eat these things raw. Sprouts, another one. Just set them down and let them make up their own things. You know, the old bump on the log or ants on a log or whatever. You know, peanut butter, and a few raisins. Dried fruit, of course, is going to be a concentrated form. Cherries are wonderful. You know, they're great for inflammation. They're great for anyone with gout. The cherries are low in glycemic and very, very high in antioxidants. The darker, the brighter the fruit, the better. Kiwi, too, is another one I like. But we could go on and on. You know, I mean, there's so many things here that could help just change. One change here, one change there. And, you know, who needs dental caries, right?
It's expensive, and it's just one of the things that can happen that go wrong from the oral perspective. My gosh, this has been a quick, fast half hour. Thank you so much. And that's how it goes, right?
I'll come on again if you want some time. We can talk about more crazy things that make more sense once you hear it, you know. And I can quote studies if you want, but it's out there, you know, and just try to educate the public in our own little circles, and then the circle can get larger and larger and larger, you know, because we have a very sick nation, and we spend the most on health care than 17 other countries put together, next 17, and we're not getting anywhere, you know, and diet is the first thing on the list that I try to work with is to correct that first. And then work on the other toxins that come into their environment. So
it's hard to find those toxins. So it's interesting to me that you're also doing blood analysis and saliva testing and stuff like that. I've been a proponent of that for 10 or 15 years from the dental office.
Sure.
We just don't know what the hell we're doing in there. We really don't. We just point and shoot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, yes, we'll get you back on here, and we'll talk about some other topics that are combining together to make us a healthy person. Thank you.
Enjoy. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Ben Briggs, for helping us understand how sugar works in the body and how people can get better by watching their sugar intake and how sugar can match up with other food groups. And I think it's a worthwhile discussion. In dentistry, all we do is say no sugar, no sugar, no sugar. Well, that's easier said than done, as we pointed out. So have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you next time.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio.